In order to know where God is taking us in the year 2022, I think it's very important that we look back. You know, if anybody wasn't here for the 30-year celebration, that day, we had a feature-length film that we released where it has a lot of the history of the church, a lot of the heart of the church in there. And if you weren't here with us that day, I very much encourage you. It's on YouTube. Go watch it. It has a whole bunch of our incredible history. But one thing, and I believe that this is, and as we go further into the year, you're going to hear me talk about this a lot, but the core of who we are at Covenant Love is attached to a prayer that my dad prayed. It's going to be now 31 years ago this year. It's in 1991, Pastor and Mama Teva moved here to Fayetteville, North Carolina to start Covenant Love. One day as Pastor was meditating on like Revelation 4 through 7, he prayed this prayer. He said, God, give us a church that looks like heaven. Who's heard us talk about that before? Pretty much everybody. Dad prayed that prayer. God, give us a church that looks like heaven. And here at Covenant Love, we believe that the model for the church is heaven. That anytime you're reading through scripture and you catch these glimpses of what's happening in the throne room or what's happening in heaven, in God's courts, around God's throne room, we believe that every single time we see that in scripture, what we're actually seeing is a model that God has laid out for the church. Theologically speaking, this is like known as foreshadowing. So the Old Testament was a foreshadowing of Jesus. Jesus was a foreshadowing of the church, and the church is supposed to be a foreshadowing of heaven. And so again, whenever you look into scripture and you see kind of the veil peeled back and we get to look into the activity and the elements that make up heaven, we see what we are supposed to be foreshadowing. We see what we are supposed to look like. And so there's multiple elements. I mean, I could just, it's going to take me years and years and years and years and years and not me alone, but all of the pastors here and all of the teachers here of just continuing to expound upon what all of this means. But today I really want to talk about three specific elements that I feel like God is calling us into for this year. So first of all, whenever we look into certain scenes of heaven, certain elements of heaven, there's three, like I said, three that I'm going to highlight today. Number one is that in the throne room of heaven, in the atmosphere of heaven, and in God's house, all nations are gathered together. Revelation 7 verse 9 says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands. Again, Revelation 7 9 shows us that in the throne room of heaven is every tribe, tongue, nation, everybody. And one thing that I want to kind of like break up in our minds is I'm a firm believer that y'all remember back in the 80s and 90s whenever like the big popular thing to do at churches was to just have flags everywhere. Y'all remember that? You're good, George. Thank you. Whenever you came in and there was like all the flags of the world around. And I think a lot of times what happened in our thought processes was that when we get to heaven, and you guys have heard me talk about this before, it's like there's going to be the American church over here, and then there's going to be like China church over here, and they're going to have their flag, and then there's going to be like Eswatini over here, and they're going to be waving their flag, and the Philippines over here, and it's like all the Filipinos back behind them are like, woo, woo, and then all the Puerto Ricans over here, and they're like, woo, woo. No, that is not what we see whenever we look at the inhabitants of the throne room of heaven. Basically, there's a scripture where it's like, you see, it's a sea of people, and the closer you get to that sea, the easier it is to see all of the different nations that have gathered together before the Lord to worship him. They're not sectioned off in their individual sections. They are gathered together, joined together, and just the same as whenever you have a microscope and then you can begin to see the individual things that make up certain elements or different things, it's the same thing with the kingdom of heaven, with the throne room of God. Right now, there is every tribe, tongue, nation gathered around the throne, joined together, not separated. Right? So keep hold on to that in your thinking. Next thing that we see, another element that we see that makes up heaven is day and night worship. Revelation 4:8 says, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings, day and night. Somebody say day and night. They never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. The next thing that you see constantly within the different visions into heaven is prayer and intercession. One of the forms of intercession that we see is the intercession for the saints, for you and I, that's coming from Jesus. It says in Hebrews 7:25, therefore he, speaking of Jesus, is also able to save forever those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So Jesus, he was on the earth, he went around, he did a bunch of different things. Then he ascended back into heaven to sit down at the right hand of God where he lives to intercede for you and I. So whenever you look at what's happening in heaven, there is every tribe, tongue, nation, all nations gathered around. There is day and night unceasing worship, and then there is intercession. And also, not just intercession for the saints, but intercession from the saints. So in Revelation 5:7-8, it says, he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the throne. Each one had a harp, and they were holding gold bowls of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. So you look into heaven, you see all nations, you see day and night worship, but then you also see day and night intercession being lifted up. And here in this particular scripture of Revelation 5:7-8, you see that the prayer and the worship go hand in hand. That there's not a separation between the prayer and worship. It's not that you're not going to get to heaven and there's going to be 20 minutes of worship and then 5 minutes of intercession and then Jesus is going to stand up and give his cute little sermon. All of these things equally inhabit the same amount of time and space within the kingdom of God, within the throne room of God. That all nations are there and all nations are joined in together in prayer, intercession, and worship day and night. They do not stop. Amen? So, where we are 30 years after my father prayed that prayer is that we are a house for all nations. That's the truth, right? I mean, look around. Ain't no one color up in here. That's like, you know, we're Baskin Robbins, 36 flavors. I mean, we're this ain't vanilla shop or, you know, whatever. This is all nations joined together. Even today, it was just so beautiful to look across the stage and see not just one or the other, but nations together, ethnicities together, worshiping God. I love every single Sunday whenever I look around and I just see the different ethnicities, the different cultures worshiping Jesus together. You guys have even heard me talk about this before of how we feel like the Lord has been having us write songs that represent our house well. Because here in our house, just gospel doesn't work and just the CCM thing doesn't work. Even though we're appreciative of different songs from those places and we do sing some of those songs, we feel like God has been birthing new songs that represent the fullness of this house. Because we believe that when my father prayed the prayer, God, give me a church that looks like heaven, as we continue to pray the prayer, God, give us a church that looks like heaven, that is one of the things that we are interceding for. And to understand that even though you look around and there is black and white and Hispanic and Asian and all these different ethnicities and cultures here in this room, to understand that there's more. To understand that even though we have a measure of being a house for all nations, that God is taking us deeper into the reality of being a house for all nations. Now, one of the main ways that we accomplish that is through prayer. And I'm going to talk about that. But that's another thing to realize is whenever you look at the three elements of heaven that I described to you this morning, one of them being the nations, we see that, we have that. Also being prayer and worship, and we have that. We have incredible intercession at this house. We have incredible prayer at this house. We have incredible worship at this house. But again, God is calling us deeper. In the same way that whenever we get saved, we are being every single day conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We all, as a church, every single day should be walking towards being conformed into the image of heaven. Being conformed into what heaven looks like. Amen? And so, again, we're not at zero in any of these areas. We're not at zero for being a house for all nations, and we're not at zero for being a house of prayer and worship. But again, God wants us to focus in on some of these things, amen? So over the years, it has been prophesied that we would one day have day and night prayer and worship here on 420 Dunn Road. This is like years and years. I believe one of the first ones was about 20-ish years ago when John Bevere prophesied that we would have day and night prayer and worship here on 420 Dunn Road. Now, the most recent prophecy being from Abner, which was last October, when the Lord spoke through him and said, I desire a habitation in this land through 24-hour, 7-day-a-week worship and prayer. Don't be intimidated by that. Don't be intimidated by that. We're going to talk through that. I know that people are going to be like, are we not going to do anything else other than pray and worship around here? We're like, what's the deal? I understand that, but yeah. John's really excited. Not everybody gets excited about that. I'm gonna talk through some of what that looks like. But he prophesied that, and then he said, it must come, and it must be so. For from that place will the word of the Lord come. From that place will apostolic prayers be prayed. And from that place will the nations of the earth be touched. So lately I've been really meditating on this prophetic word. And I felt God begin to speak to me prophetically about installing day and night prayer through a specific passage where we find the three heavenly elements I mentioned earlier of nations, day and night worship, and day and night prayer. So if you have your Bibles with you today, let's go to Isaiah 56:6 because that was just my, amen, that was just my introduction. Isaiah 56:6, actually don't flip there because I'm going to be reading out of the Passion. Quick footnote. I think the Passion is a great tool. Pastor David's laughing right now. I think that the Passion is a great tool for seeing how things can be worded differently. But for all intents and purposes, it's not a translation. I would put it more so like a paraphrase, and it's a pretty good paraphrase, and I believe that there's other translations that are much more exact, like the ESV, NASB, NIV, New King James Version. There's different translations, but for today, I as I read this passage, I felt like this is really close and really good as far as what Dr. Simmons, who is the person who did the Passion, he got it really, really close on this one. So I just want to make a little sidebar note on that and say that. But in the Passion Translation, Isaiah 56, it says this, those who join themselves to Yahweh to worship him, those who want to be his servants and love the name of Yahweh, I will welcome you into my holy mountain and make you joyful in my house of prayer. I will accept every sacrifice and offering that you place on my altar. For my house of worship will be known as a house of prayer for all nations. Can we read that last part right there, for my house of prayer, house of worship? Let's read that all together. 1, 2, 3. For my house of worship will be known as a house of prayer for all nations. Let's read it one more time. For my house of worship will be known as a house of prayer for all nations. I believe that over the past 2 years, during 2020 and also in 2021, that we as a community have been falling deeper in love with Jesus. God has been accomplishing verse 6 of Isaiah 56 in our hearts, where it says, those who join themselves to Yahweh to worship him, those who want to be his servants and love the name of Yahweh. I believe that we've experienced that over the last 2 years. There has been, again, not that that hasn't been our reality in the past, but I've asked you guys this question multiple times. Who can just feel the presence of God when we're worshiping? Like, there's just something so deep about the way that we've been worshiping. And it's not because Pastor Thomas's voice has been getting better, even though, you know, he's a really good singer. And I'm pretty happy that he works here. It's not because of him. It's not because of Danane. It's not because of Terrell. It's not because of George. Not because of James. Not because of Josh. Not because of Gary. Not because of Joel. Like, even though all of that is a part of it, we love our worship team. We love their hearts. But if they come up here and they play and no one else's hearts engage with the Lord, we don't experience the same thing that we experience. We experience what we experience on Sunday mornings because every heart is joined together in loving the Lord and out of a desire to serve him through worship and through prayer and through lifting up songs to him. And so I believe that the Lord has been, over these last 2 years, been working out Isaiah 56, 6 in our hearts so that he could bring us deeper into the Isaiah 56, 7 reality, which is to become a house of prayer for all nations. I'm going to read again Isaiah 56, verse 7. It says, I will welcome you into my holy mountain and make you joyful in my house of prayer. I will accept every sacrifice and offering that you place on my altar, for my house of worship will be known as a house of prayer for all nations. So I believe, again, that in 2020 and 2021, God was drawing us closer into his heart. But I believe that in 2022, God is going to make us joyful in his house of prayer. He's going to accept every sacrifice and offering that we bring to him. And he is going to take us deeper into the house of prayer for all nations reality. So let's start with that first one. He's going to make us joyful in his house of prayer. Because of this, because I feel prophetically this is what God is doing in our church in 2022, we are making more time for corporate prayer meetings. We slowly started to do this last year by softly opening our prayer room, which alongside of our Saturday night prayer meeting caused us to end last year with 8 hours worth of corporate prayer every single week. Woo! One person got excited about that. That's good. That's amazing. I don't know, maybe not everybody knows this, but it is an incredible thing. There are some places that don't even have an hour of prayer a month. And I'm not trying to toot our own horn, but prayer, toot, toot, prayer is how the church gets things done. Now, that's not to say that prayer is the only thing that we do, but something that my father has been saying a lot over the last couple of weeks is that our purpose is birthed out of his presence, and we encounter his presence through prayer. So in order to see the things that we have been talking about seeing, you know, drug houses transformed and strip clubs shut down and used for other purposes and pornography taking a dip in our city and all of these different, and racial reconciliation happening and abortion rates going down and plummeting, the ways that we do those things come from prayer. Every time that we see vision being released to somebody, typically they were in prayer. Every time we see the Lord saying to one of the prophets, hey, I want you to do this, or I want you to do that, or this is what I'm going to bring about in the earth, they're spending time in prayer. Prayer is where we encounter the presence, and presence is where our purpose is birthed out of. We become like him when we, the body of Christ, pray together. We are transformed into his image. We are mobilized. Even whenever that song, woo, that was so powerful this morning. I loved it. Build your church, build it from the ground up. What does Jesus say whenever he says, I will build my church and on this rock I will establish it. The gates of hell will not prevail. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind, prayer, on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, prayer will be loosed in heaven. Prayer is how we get things done as a church. Prayer is where we are launched into the heart of God for our city, for our nation. And so we ended last year with 8 years of prayer, and we want to double down on that this year, and we want to end 2022 with 16 hours of corporate prayer meetings by the end of this year. That's our heart. To move from just doing 8 hours to moving into 16 hours. It's been an incredible thing that God has already been birthing this and doing this. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Sam, not Pastor Sham, Pastor Sam, if you were here last week, you know what I'm talking about. Pastor Sam has been overseeing that, and it's been such an incredible thing because I like every time I'm in the prayer room right now, I hear the Lord saying, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Because there's like four or five of us in there, but man, Jesus is there and things are getting done. And it's a powerful thing. And so we as a church, we want to double that. We want to grow. And our goal is to grow this slowly and build quality over quantity as it pertains to our gatherings. Why? Because boring, lifeless prayer meetings are not sustainable. Some of us been in those prayer meetings where it's just like, whoo, Jesus, when is this thing going to be over? Like, I love the Lord. I do. I've been in those prayer meetings. I've been in a lot of those prayer meetings. I've also been in the prayer meetings that are charged with life and vibrancy, and you feel the authority of the Lord in the room. I love what one person who has 24/7 prayer in their city, he says, I don't have faith for it if it's not fun. And I'm here today to tell you, I don't have faith for 16 hours of prayer meetings if it's 16 hours of boring prayer meetings. We want to build this thing slowly because we want to see quality. We want to bring to the Lord what he is worth. We want to ascribe to the Lord what he is worthy of. And we don't want to just make joyful noises. We want to make good songs of the Lord in front of him. We want to lift up prayer. We want to be led by the Spirit. We want to encounter his presence. We don't want it to just lull on for hours and hours and hours. We want to be ignited with a fire and a passion to see the Lord move in this city. And so we're going to be building this thing slowly. It shouldn't be laborious and difficult to spend time before the Lord. Why? Because Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. The presence of God is not a boring thing. The presence of God is where you go to encounter fullness of joy, pleasures everlasting. And that's why God says, I will make you joyful, not bitter, not angry, not yelling and, God, send your spirit, like craziness. No, I will make you joyful in my house of prayer. So we're working towards that. We want to, in order to achieve this, we want to train even more people up, because I want to tell you, if you are an intercessor in this house, thank you. I just, if no one's told you, which I know Pastor John has told you, but I'm telling you, your lead pastor is telling you, thank you for interceding, Thank you for laying your life down. Thank you for when you get the call about the person that is hurt or wounded or in the hospital or whatever. Thank you for praying. Thank you for lifting up your voice. We have incredible intercessors in this house, but we want to train up even more people who know how to flow in the Spirit and be led by Jesus. We are also believing for God to bring in skilled musicians and worshipers who will devote themselves to times of prayer and worship. I also believe that in the coming years, God is going to show us a way to train up people who are interested in being worship leaders, who are interested in being musicians and being Levites before the Lord. I believe that. It's not in place yet, but I believe that the Lord is calling us into that reality because he is asking us to set this thing up. The next thing that the Lord is going to do is he is going to accept every sacrifice we offer to him. I've said a couple of times that I believe that this is the year of answered prayer. I believe that. I believe that this is a year where we are offering up so much prayer that we're just not even going to be able to follow all of the crazy things that the Lord is going to begin to do. I believe that we it's so interesting. Last year, near the end of the year, we were in staff prayer. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Son, I'm about to release covenant love into a season of seeing cancer healed." Now, right after that, I don't think a day has gone by that I haven't gotten a report about cancer. So the Lord says, "I'm going to release you into that season." Not so that we can dance around and be happy and say, yes, but to solve a problem. The Lord speaks to solve problems. So when the Lord prophesies things, when the Lord speaks things, it's because there's coming a time where you're going to need to respond to the thing that he's telling you to walk in. So prophecy is not just this cute thing that we get, these words from the Lord. It's not just this cute stuff. It's because the Lord, listen, if we had not been in prayer, we would not have seen that there was coming an attack of cancer on his body, on the individual members of his body. If we hadn't been praying and interceding and asking the Lord what to do and what to say, we wouldn't have seen that coming and we wouldn't be able to pray into it and we wouldn't be able to see the miracles that we're going to see as a result of that word. But because the Lord spoke it, and because we are continuing to pray into it, and every single time I get those reports, this person has leukemia, this person has stage 4 cancer, this person has breast cancer, this person has this, that immediately there's a fire lit in my heart that doesn't go, oh, I guess the Lord was lying. No, I go, that's why the Lord said he's releasing us into a season to see cancer healed. It's not so that we can be depressed whenever it starts flooding in, that people are getting cancer. It's so that we can hit the ground, hit our knees, and say, Lord, you said, God, you said that you are releasing us into this season where cancer is going to be healed. And so we lift up our voice and we claim that thing and we thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a season where cancer cannot live in this house. That by his stripes we are healed. Jehovah Rapha is Lord and Savior of this house, and we will not stand for it. Come on. And from this place of prayer and intercession, that's where the prayers are answered. I was reading a book one time, and this is one of my favorite quotes in the world. Somebody asked this archbishop from way, way long time ago. They said, do you really believe that prayer works? And he says, I don't know that prayer works. I only know that whenever I pray, I don't get as many answers to my prayers. Now, I would say I do know that prayer works, and I also know that the more I pray, the more I see answers to those prayers. I know that the Word of God says, knock and keep on knocking, ask and keep on asking, seek and it will be found. And so whenever we create this atmosphere where there's just more and more prayer being lifted up, more and more prayer being offered to the Lord, then we're just creating more space to knock and keep on knocking. And that's what we're going to do. And I believe that the Lord is going to accept every sacrifice we offer him. I believe that as we lift up prayer to the Lord, that we're going to see prodigal sons and daughters come home. I believe that we're going to see physical and emotional and financial miracles poured out on this house like we have never seen before. I believe that. I believe that we're going to see more marriages healed than we have ever seen. I believe that we're going to see more families restored than we have ever seen. I believe that we're going to see PTSD bow its knee to the name of Jesus. I believe this is what I believe. I believe that trauma is just going to begin to fall off of people's lives, that depression will not be able to live here because there is joy in the presence of the Lord. I believe that anxiety is just going to begin to melt off of people's lives because it can't live in a place where God is just responding to prayer after prayer after prayer. I believe that we are going to have so much blessing poured out on us that we're not going to have room enough to hold it. I believe that city programs are going to have to shut down because they're going to say, well, the church is taking care of it. Because it was never, oh, Jesus, let me go. It was never the government's responsibility in the first place. The church is supposed to care for the poor, the widows, and the orphans. The church is, and the reason why it's jacked up is because the church abdicated its seat of responsibility in the city and started letting worldly people do what they are not good at. It takes the love of Jesus. It takes the power of Jesus. It takes the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, I'm not against government. I'm not saying that. I believe that the government has a role, but I believe the church has a role that we've just settled for being a Sunday service. We've just settled for sitting in pews and getting in our 45 minutes instead of mobilizing and seeing the poor and the widowed and the orphaned and the marginalized and the outcast taken care of. That is our calling. That is who we are. And it happens from a place of prayer. It happens from a place of prayer. One of my favorite areas where they have a prayer room set up, it was so incredible. You know, they took time and they were just really focusing on praying before the Lord. And one of the leaders there was like, God, we really need a way to evangelize. Like, God, please birth within us this heart for evangelism. And then the next Sunday, this woman comes up to him, or I believe he was actually in the prayer room. This woman walks up to him and says, Pastor, I just want to let you know, we've been praying and we don't know what to do because we started going out and evangelizing to people on Friday nights and now there's like 100 of us. And we just didn't, are we supposed to, like, what are we supposed to be doing? And the pastor was just sitting there like mind blown. Because he didn't have to say anything. The Lord put it in the hearts of the people. They mobilized themselves, and then they started seeing loads upon loads of people coming to the Lord as a result of engaging with him in prayer, engaging with the Lord in prayer. And the last thing that I'm going to share about that third point is that God is going to take us deeper into the house of prayer for all nations reality. When we look at the nations of the earth, you see fighting, conquering, war, destruction, racism, prejudice, division, and power struggles. So how do we grow in being a house for all nations without any of this? How do you put two nations, now I understand this a little bit because of working as a missionary. And specifically where I worked in Mexico, there were the Nahuatl people who are indigenous to the area, and then there's the group that are descendants from the Spaniards who, you know, basically had come in and had conquered the Nahuatl people. And the big question is, how do you get these people to go to church with each other? Because they hate each other. Same type of question can be asked here. We live in a city where the landmark is literally marked by the fact that slaves were sold there. So how do you continue to grow? And people getting nervous. People get real nervous whenever you start talking about this stuff. How do you continue to grow into a church, especially whenever, I mean, I don't know if anybody's read a newspaper, but racial tension hasn't gone anywhere. I mean, you'd have to live under a rock to know that there's, to think that there's not racial tension in America right now. There is. There is. Okay, so how do we do this right here? How do we come into a place where we're comfortable with one another? How do we come into a place where we don't just go to church with each other, but we sit at each other's dinner tables? How do we get to a place where we don't just go to church to each other, but we go to each other's weddings? We go to each other's family functions. We're standing around each other's birth dedications. How do we continue to grow deeper in that? Because I'm good with having our chairs filled with every nation. But I want to see people's Instagram feeds filled with people that don't look like them. I want to see out for the weekend with me and my friends that look nothing like me. How do we get there? So it's a great question, and the answer is by being a house of prayer. Because here, prayer, I'm going to use a big-ish word, I guess. Prayer is the emulsifier of the nations. Prayer is the emulsifier of the nations. What is an emulsifier? Have you ever tried to mix water and oil together? They don't mix, right? If you put water and oil together, oil's going to go to the bottom, water's going to come to the top, right? And they're going to separate. Even if you mix them up, you might be able to get them together for a time, but eventually it's all going to settle, and they're going to separate. And so in order, if you want water and oil to mix together, you need an emulsifier. You need something else to come in and be mixed with the water and the oil for it to be mixed together so that it will stay together. Prayer is the emulsifier of the nations. Prayer is the emulsifier of the nations. Prayer is the emulsifier of the nations. If you want all nations joined together in unity and connection with one another, you need prayer. I've been asking the Lord about this because I am aware that being in a big church, it can be hard to find community. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm not as simple as I seem. I know that that's hard. And I know that it's needed in this church. And it's been so interesting because we've been in staff meetings and over and over and over again, we need community, we need community, we need community, we need community. And the Lord just keeps on saying, you need prayer, you need prayer, you need prayer. And I've just been like, God, it seems a lot more natural to just have small groups. It seems a lot more natural to just go, hey, we're going to start doing life groups again and hire a pastor and somebody that's going to create these groups and things like that. It's been confusing until the Lord showed me this passage and showed me that in order to have true community, in order to have true fellowship, you have to have a deeper amount of prayer going on. Because the way that we're going, like, okay, so here's another thing. None of us are dumb. We know that in the next election, same thing's going to happen that happens every year. Republicans are going to be really mad at Democrats. Democrats are going to be really mad at Republicans. We're all going to be really mad at each other. It's all going to be really hard. He doesn't like white people, and he doesn't like black people, and he doesn't like this person. They don't like that, right? Hey, this is my thing. Say it out loud. I'm just going to be honest, okay? Just going to be honest this morning. We know that. That's coming. How do we not let that happen? Because there's plenty of places that had really incredible small group programs, but completely split apart and hated each other during the last election. So to me, the answer is not create more space for community. To me, it's create more space for presence. Create more space for the love of God to join our hearts and knit our hearts together. Create more space. Why? Because I was asking the Lord, I was like, God, why won't you let me get off of this prayer thing? And why won't you let me focus on what seems the most obvious, which is create more space for community? And he said, have you ever hated someone you've been praying for? I've got some great friends that I have had enormous conflict with. Enormous conflict. And you know how we got through that conflict? I got on my knees before the Lord and I said, God, help me to see them like you see them. God, help me to bless them the way that you want to bless them. God, help me to love them the way that you love them. God, help me to set this thing aside like you set it aside. God, help me to forgive them the same way that you would forgive them. God, help me. You cannot hate someone that you are praying for. You can't stay offended with someone that you are praying for. You can't. And so that's what happens. The community grows and the love for one another grows as we pray for one another. That's why you look at heaven and there's nobody trying to conquer anybody else. There's nobody trying to overcome anybody else. It's everybody joined together in prayer and worship, being emulsified before the Lord. And that's how we're going to see deeper realities of the house for all nations come to pass in this house. By increasing our prayer, by ramping up our time with one another in the presence of the Lord. That is how this is going to happen. We can see a beautiful example of this in Acts 2. It says in verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. They were in a prayer meeting. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. Beautiful. As the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed, saying, "How can this be?" They exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages? Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya and whatever that one is, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." So they're in this prayer room together, seeking the Lord. The presence of God falls, and then 3,000 people from multiple different nations get saved and come to the Lord. The result of prayer is always, always unity among the nations. It's always unity among our hearts with the hearts of other believers. Whenever we're in prayer, we can understand why one person is more passionate about another issue. When we're in prayer, we can see why someone engages the heart of God the way that they engage the heart of God. When we join in prayer together, we get to see the heart of God being birthed in other people. And then instead of trying to figure out why we're so different and why I don't like this person, we find exactly why we are joined and knit together. It's a beautiful thing. And this is why God is calling us into it. So those 3,000 people from the multiple different nations, they got saved. And it says this in verse 42, that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them. And the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Thousands of people from multiple different nations joining with each other in day-to-day community was the direct result of corporate prayer meetings. And prayer is one of the things they stayed devoted to after this moment. And as the Lord pours out his Spirit in this coming year, we will respond the same way by devoting ourselves to prayer. This is why we want to double the amount of prayer that we're lifting up this year. So right now, and they're going to have the hours up on the screens. Right now, on Tuesday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Saturday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. are all the hours of the current prayer meetings that we have. Yep, right there. Those are all of the hours of the prayer meetings that we have right now. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to continue to add hours in the mornings and in the nights and everything, and we're just going to work towards this thing. I don't think that we're not going to have 24/7 hour prayer soon. This is something that the Lord is working us towards in a really slow way, but he is walking us towards that, and this is where we're at right now. And during the fast, let me say this first. My prayer is that as the year goes forward, we would all devote ourselves to attending one corporate prayer meeting a week. One hour of one corporate prayer meeting a week. That's my prayer. Because like I said, this is not just the staff, this is not just me, this is not just my dad, this is all of us joining together in this. Now, I know some of these hours are very difficult for people to make it to. I think probably the easiest with people with families is, number one, maybe try and be here for the Wednesday night prayer set from 5:30 to 6:30, maybe that hour. Get here a little bit earlier with your families before you go to your classes and your courses. Maybe come in, pray with your family. Your families are allowed to be there. We invite you to bring your families. It's going to be an incredible time for them to even just engage in the presence. But Wednesday night would be a really good one if you have families, or Saturday night. Saturday night is also a really great time to come, and it's from 6 to 7, and we really focus on the presence of God being poured out on our services here on Sunday mornings. But I just encourage you, we're going to continue to post about the hours that are coming out. Like I said, we're going to be posting. We're going to be trying to fill some of those morning hours. We're going to be trying to fill some of those afternoon hours. I know that the more afternoons that we start to do, the more families are going to be able to engage. But I just encourage you throughout the year, devote yourself to an hour. Devote yourself to coming out and spending a time in prayer. I know that it's a sacrifice, but man, when I tell you that it is so worth it, when I look at the places that have established this type of prayer in their houses, in their churches, they are just some of the most blessed, mobilized churches that I have ever seen. And that's what God is calling us into. And so I encourage you, take some time, pray with your family, and don't do anything begrudgingly. Don't do anything begrudgingly. Don't do something because you feel like you have to. Do it because God births it out of your heart. Do it because you want to be a part of what God is doing here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Do it because he is calling us deeper. Now, we are going to be live streaming some of these during the fast. It's going to be during the fast. And if you can, I know that some of you are going to be doing the sunrise to sunset fast. And if you're going to be fasting lunch, maybe come out and join us for one of those 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Prayer meetings. That would be a great time, great way to spend it. If you can't make it out here on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we will be live streaming it just for the fast. After the fast is over, we won't be able to continue to do that because our media people are killing it, and they've got a lot of stuff that they have to do, and so we're not going to be able to do that right now. But again, this takes sacrifice. It does. And one thing that I think is so significant and beautiful is that we're doing these prayer rooms in our original building, where there have been hours of prayer lifted up. And I'm telling you, there's just like a deep well over there. There's just a deep sense of God's presence. So we're over there for all those times. Again, yeah, they're still up there. 11 to 1 on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we are adding an 11 to 1 hour as well. So the 11 to 1 hours are going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So that's the first 2 hours that we have been adding since last year. So I'm just excited, you guys. I'm so pumped at what the Lord is doing. I am so excited because I know that He is. Pastor Thomas sang it this morning. He is still the God in the storm. When we look around and we look at our nation, we look at the condition of everything, and we look back at the times that the tides of our nation was turned, there was prayer being lifted up. When we look back at the history and we see major shifts taking place where our nation was off course and then it got back on course, you see the church praying. The nation does not need a divided, angry church right now. This nation needs a church devoted to prayer. And so that's what we're moving towards. That's what we're walking forward in. We're going to be taking this whole first part of the year and just focusing in on prayer. The first 6 months of this year, we're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to be preaching about prayer. Even Dad has a book coming out on prayer in May that we are super excited about. And the time is right and we are ready. So I just encourage you all, engage with us. Come along this journey with us. Be with us as we walk towards what the Lord has for us. Amen. Amen, man. We love you guys so much. Thank you for hanging out with me. I know I went a little long today, but this is what we're walking towards. This is what we're walking towards, and God is going to do great things. Amen.